All right, if you have your Bibles this evening, we'll be in Luke chapter number 10. One of my favorite passages of Scripture. I think as we were candidating here, I spoke on the Good Samaritan from Luke chapter 10. This evening, we'll look at another portion of Luke chapter 10. We'll be looking at Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha. Kind of a little bit of a spinoff from this morning. We looked at how the church today is attacked as a whole and the way it can be permeated through traditions and exalting traditions above Christ. But this evening I want to look at probably, I believe, the most dangerous thing to a Christian. And you say, Brother James, you're talking about Mary and Martha. Doesn't sound very dangerous. I believe as we study this passage, I hope to draw out some things that we'll be able to apply, but also to look out for and be on watch for, because I think it is so common, but it's something that it's a doctrine or it's an attack that we so rarely even identify. And I think it can happen even in a believer's life, and you may not even realize it. You may not even know it. It's even taking place. But I think it is detrimental to our churches as a whole. So let's begin with a word of prayer before we start. Father, as we gather today, Lord, tonight, Lord, around your word, Lord, as we look at Mary and Martha, Lord, as, Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would gather truths from these things, and Lord, that we'd be encouraged, Lord, we'd be strengthened, Lord, that these things would be applicable to our lives, and Lord, I pray that that you would set some people free from this bondage of service. Lord, I pray that we would be believers that desire to sit at your feet. Lord, we pray that you would meet with us again tonight. Lord, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I didn't get my nap this afternoon, so if my mind is a little foggy, that's why. Luke chapter 10, verse number 38. It says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was encumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" It's an interesting passage, isn't it? Mary and Martha. Jesus is traveling, and as he comes to visit his friends and fellowship with them, he comes into the household of Mary and Martha. You can debate about whose house it was, many people. But anyway, Jesus is coming to fellowship with Mary and Martha, correct? Look at verse number 38. "And it came to pass, as when he entered a certain village, a certain woman named Martha received him into their house." Who's him? Who are they talking about? So these two believers, Mary and Martha, are receiving Jesus into their household. For what purpose do you think? If they're Baptists, they're eating, right? Usually it's probably to fellowship. That was a cultural thing there. If someone was receiving into your house, you would treat them as an honored guest, and you would serve them dinner and food and do everything for them. So as we see that these two believers are receiving Jesus into their household to have fellowship with Jesus, we see that they have a desire to fellowship with Christ. Would you agree? But look what happens. There's something that it really concerns me as I read this dialogue in Scripture. They received him in their house. They were coming to a place where they're going to fellowship with Christ. They both had a love for Christ, but they had completely different responses to the fellowship with Christ. Look here. Look what it says in verse number 39. "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Now, look at that. It says, look at that wording. It says, "which also sat at Jesus' feet." meaning at one time they had both sat at his feet, probably in a previous. But let me think for a second. You know, do you remember the time when you first came to Christ? Do you remember that? Do you remember your desire for the word when you first came to Christ? And how it was overwhelming because you felt how little you actually knew about the scriptures? So you had this great desire when you were converted to have fellowship with Christ. So we see when they are coming and they're sitting at his feet, the picture is that that's an attitude of submission. It's that's what the rabbis and the students of the rabbis would, they would sit at their feet, and it was a distinctive that I am coming to learn. I'm coming to fellowship. You are going to impart to me knowledge and wisdom. It's a submissive attitude. As they are coming to Jesus to sit at his feet, look what happens. But Martha was encumbered about which much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve? You see, I think as we walk with Christ for years, our desire to fellowship with Christ tends to wane, does it not? Now, that word, which also sat at her feet, but then it goes, but Martha. See, I think there's a lot of Christians and a lot of people that have sat at Jesus' feet at one point in their life, have fellowshiped with Christ, have learned of him, had submitted their lives to Christ, but are no longer doing sitting at his feet, but are no longer fellowshipping with him, are no longer walking with him as they once were. That fellowship isn't as sweet. The desire isn't as strong. That passion isn't as strong as it once was. You have two people, two different responses. One desires to stay at the feet, but one has got up away from fellowship with Christ and has gone into what I believe is the greatest cancer that can ever plague a church. Serving Jesus without fellowshipping with Jesus. I think that has plagued American Christianity more than anything else. Now think about that. In our churches, we're busy, aren't we? Some other churches, they're a lot more busy than even we are. And you see a lot of noise in Christianity, do you not? You see a lot of signs and lights and cameras and action and planning and this program and that program and this, and we're going to do this and we're going to do all these great things. And I think, well, that's good and great. But have we left the most important thing? My concern as believers, as I look across this auditorium today, I do not want you to serve Jesus if you are not fellowshipping with him. Does that make sense? Our programs, our church will be lifeless if all we are doing is coming here to serve him. Look at Martha. She used to sit at Jesus' feet. But she's gotten up. She's gotten away from this fellowship she once had. But look, verse 40. But Martha, she was encumbered about with what? She went from sitting at Jesus' feet to be encumbered about with service. Who is she serving? Think about that. Who is she serving? Who's the most important guest in this? She's serving Jesus. Do you think in her mindset, when she got up and she started probably preparing a meal and preparing the house and getting all things ready in there, it's the mindset. She probably doesn't care about her sister. You know, a sibling rivalry. She's not going to do all these things for her sister. But there is an honored guest, and it's the one, the Messiah, that is coming to their house to fellowship. And she leaves fellowship with Jesus, and she starts serving Jesus. And she gets encumbered about with all of this busyness, all of this noise, all of this service. And she neglects to have a real relationship with Christ. To me, that's dangerous. You know, I'm just going to be transparent with you. I think there's a lot of people in American Christianity that are absolutely burnt out and tired. Because it's just so many things. It's one thing after another. And they're so busy. But I believe the reason that they are burnt out, the reason they are tired, the reason Christianity has become a duty, a reason that Christianity has become dull and a routine and just this, we have to do it, we've been doing it for so many years, is because we've been so busy, but we haven't had fellowship with Christ. The hearts have not been warmed. The spirit has not been changed. The mind has not been renewed. It just, now we have gotten up away from fellowship in Jesus, away from spending time with him, away from having a relationship with him, and we're just busy serving Jesus. One of the greatest attacks that Satan can have in an individual believer's life is to get them busy doing good things for God. If you are too busy to spend time with God, you are busier than God ever intended you to be. Do you think she had good intentions? I don't question her heart one bit. I think she was as sincere as every woman here, I believe, is sincere. I believe she had great intentions. I believe she was sincere in her heart. She wanted to please God. In her mind, she was serving Jesus, was she not? With pure intentions. See, I don't think the problem in our churches is that people don't have a desire to serve Jesus. Do you? When we did the family fun fair, we had too many volunteers, I would think. We had an overabundance of people serving and willing to serve. I don't think the problem is with service in Christianity. I think the problem with Christianity is too many people are serving and not enough people are fellowshipping. So she was encumbered, weighted down, burdened with all of this business, all of this service, all of this preparation she was encumbered about, and she didn't even realize. She's not fellowshipping with Christ. She's not fulfilling the reason that he came to visit. She had once sat at his feet, but no longer. Isn't it easy as we walk with Christ for years to allow our relationship to just wane? Our desire isn't as strong. Isn't that easy to do that? You know why I think it's so easy? Because we're doing a lot of good things for Jesus. I believe that. And it's easy to justify it, isn't it? And sometimes we even equate that with a relationship. Do you agree? Well, I'm active in my church. Well, I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and I'm part of this, and I go here, and I do all these things for Jesus. And I think she equated doing all these things with relationship. And that could be the furthest thing from the truth. It's dangerous, isn't it? I think that's Satan's, his number one method to get people. And watch what happens. I get too excited with this stuff. I don't. Are you guys excited about this? What happened? When she got encumbered about with much service and she didn't fellowship with Christ, did it change her spirit? Look what happens. But Martha was encumbered about with much serving. And she came to the Lord. Look what she says. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she should come help me. Now, I want you to grab two things. see a person that hasn't fellowshiped with Christ but is serving Jesus, you know what would be characteristics of their ministry while they're serving Jesus? First one, was she critical? She had a critical spirit, didn't she? I can just picture it. Lord, look at all what I'm doing, and look at her. She's not doing a thing. She's just sitting there. She's not doing nothing. Look at all I'm doing over here. I am busy. I could really use some help over here. You know, the danger, and I find it to be true in churches, people that are busy with Jesus in programs but not fellowshipping with Jesus, they'll be doing a lot of things, but among them, they'll be fighting, arguing, and people being critical of one another. And in the midst of our service, in the midst of people working together and serving Jesus, there'll be people involved in that being critical of another person. Now, who is she being critical of? Her sister? Aren't we sometimes critical of our brothers and sisters in Christ? Now, listen. Now, what was her sister doing? She was being critical of her sister while her sister was pursuing a relationship with Christ. See, a lot of times our criticalness only is on the surface and it's not into the heart. When you criticize someone, you're really criticizing something on their external that you see, but you have no idea what's going on in their heart. Does that make sense? We need to be careful. Will fellowship with Jesus kill a critical spirit? We need to be very, very, very careful that we don't get so busy and we haven't really spent time with Christ like we should. And we need to watch our spirits. They're not being critical. That is the number one indicator that you're not fellowshipping with Christ, because you are critical of other people's ministries, the way they operate, the way they talk, the way they dress, the way they do this. You will begin to have a critical spirit, and that critical spirit grows like a cancer. It grows. And critical spirits come from well-meaning people who are desiring to serve Jesus. That's where they come from. And it will permeate a church. Not only is she critical, look at the second point. She says, Lord, don't you care that she has left me to serve alone? She's critical. Now she's telling the Lord what she should be doing. She said, tell her to get over here and help me. You know what I find with people that have a desire to serve Jesus and are busy with serving Jesus but not fellowshipping with Jesus? Is that they're always right. It has to be done their way or no way. Can you imagine? You know, you tell her, get over here, and you get in the kitchen with me, and we're going to do this together, and we're going to, right? You know, I find that to be true in churches, that if it's not done this person's way, they'll either get mad, they'll throw a fit, they'll be critical, they'll gossip, they'll slander. Well-meaning people, well-meaning believers. You know, what's the problem? Don't focus in on those externals that you see. In counseling, they teach you, when you see erratic behavior, don't pay attention to the erratic behavior. Get to the root. There's something that's causing this over here. So when you see criticalness, when you see someone that's prideful and says, I'm going to do it my way. If it's not my way, I'm going to throw a fit and just quit, and I'm not going to do it. You know, if it's not my way, I'm not doing it. You know why? From a long, long time ago, they departed from right here. Fellowship with Christ. And the way they did it is they became so busy doing so many things, serving Jesus, that they have neglected a real relationship with Christ. And now they're over here being critical because Christ isn't ruling their spirit. They're becoming judgmental. They're becoming condemning. And they're saying it has to be done my way or not at all. Isn't that what's happening? She became the boss. You guys wore your steel-toed boots, right? Now listen, I don't... The scriptures, they're here to change us. That's God's mirror to show us where we need to change. And when you make that change and you accept God's word in your life, there's freedom that comes from it, is there not? Every time that I am convicted from the word, I have one or two responses. Either I can get mad and just harbor it and not harden my neck, stiffen my neck, or I can receive it and get right. This is my concern. I think this right here plagues American Christianity more than anything, and it's never identified. I'm going to say something that 99% of preachers in America probably would never say. I do not want you to be involved with ministry here if you're not fellowshipping with Christ. Because as a pastor, it would not be right for me to beg for you to serve here if it's taking away your time from Christ. I would much rather you spend time with Christ, sit at his feet, learn of him, cultivate that relationship, cultivate that heart. I would much rather that than you come here and just engulf your life with so many things. I want you to know Christ and to walk with him. That's the purpose. That's it. You know, that's where joy will come from. Don't you think? Don't you think that's where peace comes from? That's where love comes from. It comes from Christ. He's the source. But if we depart from the source, we're doing it in our own strength. And when we do it in our own strength, do not be surprised when our flesh takes over. And we have a bunch of busy, fleshly ministries at our hand. And we have Christians that are intending to do well and to serve God, but they're not fellowshipping with Christ. And the world can tell. The world can tell. I preached a message here a long time ago. Actually, the first message I preached, Psalm 51, restore joy. Remember what I said about joy? Joy is always like a fragrance. Right? What do you think her fragrance was? Yeah. I don't even want to. It's what does the Bible say about a brawling woman? It's better if she's like in that state. I don't want nothing to do with her. Right? And there's people in churches today that are right here. They're critical. They're condemning. It has to be their way. And you know, if it's always consistently like that, you know what people are going to do? I don't want nothing to do with that. And there will be people that will not serve in ministries because of people that are critical and always have to have it their way. Is that true? Is it what I said? Is that what the Bible? Okay. See, I said this morning that we must be knit together in love. This isn't love. You guys still with me? But look at what Jesus' response to her. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, Martha. I can just almost, can you just picture this? Martha, what am I going to do with you, Martha? Look what he says. Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. Do you think Martha was a detailed person? Think she's a hard worker? I think that we could say so many things about her that would be good qualities. wonderful. Servant, wonderful. Planner, wonderful. Right? But he says unto her, Martha, you are careful about many things, and you're concerned, you're troubled. You have a concern for the things of God. You have a concern about many things. It's not necessarily bad things. He goes, but one thing is needful. It's amazing. We go from talking about being busy with so many things, and he comes right back. He goes, one thing is needful. It's not all these things over here. It's not in the programs. It's not in the busyness. It's not in all of these things over here that you're so careful and you're troubled and your mind is burdened about. It's not over here. It's just one thing that is needful. What do you think he's talking about? Fellowship at his feet. Fellowship with Christ, knowing him, walking with him, having a real, sincere relationship with Christ. I fear, now don't get mad at me, I fear that so many of us haven't had a real relationship with him in a long time, that we have really forgotten what it's even like to walk with Christ with newness of life and passion. I want to get back to simplicity in Christianity today. Can I be transparent for a second? I am so tired with all the busyness of Christianity today. And I sit there and I look at it and I say, what are we doing? Are we really impacting our community with all of these business and gadgets? Are we really impacting our communities with all these things? Or is it just Satan's way to get us consumed with so many things that we have left the main thing? Sincere people who want to serve Jesus. Sincere in everything they do. But we have just gotten distracted with good things that has taken us away from the main thing, which is Christ. You see how dangerous it can be? Christianity can be one of the greatest hindrances to your relationship with Christ. Now, that's a big statement to swallow. I know, but if you think about it with me, Christianity in the sense of the corporate sense of service and doing all these things can be one of the greatest hindrances in your relationship with Christ. I'll give you a personal testimony. There was a time in my life as I was so busy traveling, preaching, teaching, evangelizing, doing all the things that would be great, preparing sermons, studying my Bible, going through Bible college, being a husband, a wife. Not being a wife. All right, Caleb, I'm done. Having a wife. I was doing all of these things that if everyone would even talk to me, they would even applaud me. You know, if I have to be honest, I didn't have a relationship with Christ. I was doing a lot of things for him. And I found myself discouraged, frustrated, burnt out, tired, down. I didn't know why. I thought, Lord, I'm doing all these things. I mean, I'm living the Christian life. That's where this message was birthed from. He brought me to Luke chapter 10. And it was almost like my name was right there. James. You're so busy with so many other things. You know, and I sat there and I cried. And I said, I can't remember the last time that I sat down with my Bible and I got on my knees and I sincerely asked the Lord to teach me from his word. to sit at his feet and just say, Lord, what will you teach me today? I couldn't remember the last time I did that. It's been months. And he told me, James, one thing is needful. That doesn't matter if you're not fellowshipping with Christ. I had it all. I had the critical spirit. I thought people should do it my way. I was prideful. I was all of it. And I couldn't. I said one thing. It's fellowship with Christ. I think as a church, the one thing we need to get back to is not to find the next great program that's going to bring thousands of people here. That's not it. It's not going to be, we need to find a wonderful children's program guy and he's going to go get all these kids. No. It's not going to be in all that. Think about it with Elijah for a second. After Elijah ran to the wilderness from Jezebel, and he sat under the juniper tree, and he said, Lord, just take my life, didn't he? He ran from Jezebel. And the Lord came and ministered to him, and he took him to Mount Horeb, right? And what happened when he got to Mount Horeb and he got to the cleft of the rock is that he seen the earthquake. He seen the fire. He seen the wind, didn't he? And it beat upon the rock. These amazing things that he happened. And he says, and every time that you see one of those things, he said, the Lord was not in the wind. The Lord was not in the fire. The Lord wasn't in the earthquake. The Lord wasn't in those things. But he said, it's the still, small voice. See, Elijah was discouraged, ready to give up his life and said, Lord, I'm done. Because I think even Elijah, the prophet, the great prophet of the Old Testament, forgot about just the simple, still, small voice of having a relationship with Christ. I think as a church, I'm not asking you to serve in more ministries. You got to be more faithful and you got to do this and you got to do that. You got to show up here and show up there. No. You have to fellowship with Christ. And now let me tell you something. When you are fellowshipping with Christ, your wanter, that's a southern term, your wanter is going to be changed. Instead of have to, it's I get to, I want to. Because that's what Christ changes. When your heart is full with Christ in a relationship with him, they say down south that your wanter changes. See, Christianity doesn't have to be habit. It doesn't have to be I have to. No, it becomes this joy-filled, I get to fellowship with Christ, and then he enables me to serve. See, we get it backwards, don't we? We harp from the pulpits. You got to do this, and you got to show up here, and you got to. No, you don't. You got to fellowship with Christ. You have to fellowship with Christ. Don't allow any church or any preacher to rob that from you, including me. Hold me accountable. If I try to ask you to do something and you don't have time, tell me no. Okay? But I want to be a church that is known for one thing, that is they know God. They walk in truth. They walk in fellowship with Christ. If he's exalted, what will happen? Will he draw all men unto himself when he's lifted up? He's got to be lifted up in our lives, and it's got to come from fellowshipping with him. We have to get back to us having a relationship with Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and, Lord, the truths in it. Lord, it is so convicting to me as I study this, Lord. So often, Lord, I get consumed with just the busyness of serving you, Lord. Lord, and so often I neglect a time of fellowship, a time of prayer. Lord, I so often just put on the back burner my studies of the scripture for personal growth, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help me to stay at your feet. And Lord, to learn of you, to grow, and to know you in a greater way, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, your love for us. Lord, I pray for the people here, Lord, that we would walk out of here changed and encouraged, Lord, to know that, Lord, that we can come back to you and sit at your feet and learn of you. Lord, allow it to be simple again. Lord, allow the passion and the joy to return. Lord, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.